Please turn in your Bibles now to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Here's another text that contains the word, often translated worry. In the English Standard Version, it's translated anxiety. In the New American Standard Version, it's translated concern. And in the King James Version, it's translated care. It's verse 28 in chapter 11. And we'll read a little bit of the context, beginning with the middle of verse 21. 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 21. Paul says, "But in whatever respect anyone else is bold, I speak in foolishness. I am just as bold myself. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern?" Let's pray. Lord, again, thank you for your grace and thank you for the opportunity to speak with regard to the things contained in your word. We pray that as we take a look at this particular text this evening, that you'll be pleased to grant us your grace and blessing. Open our hearts, meet with us, and apply your good covenant word to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The sermon title is simple: Good Stress, Bad Stress, Church Stress. They go together. Bad stress. Bad stress usually is more self-centered. It is nearsighted. It is consumed with self, and because it is consumed with self, it often has physical ramifications. There is physical tension that arises in the body. There is in the internal organs stress which can result in damage to those internal organs. Ulcerated stomachs and intestines. Bad stress. There's also good stress. The pressure that an athlete may feel on the starting line before a race, and the adrenaline rushes, and the heart is pumping, and the athlete is focused, very focused, in thinking about what is going to transpire in the next seconds or minutes. And then there's church stress. Church stress can either be bad stress or good stress. In bad church stress, We are often interested in the church going in the direction we want the church to go. And we grumble and complain and we're anxious because the leaders of the church don't see fit to move in the direction we think is proper. And good stress in the church has to do with being Christ-centered. It has to do with Christ-centered pressure, concern coming from the Lord with regard to the things in the church. And I think it's this latter concern, it's this latter pressure, it's this latter stress, if you will, that Paul is talking about in verse 28 when he says, apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me, concern for all the churches. Here is a Christ-centered concern, as we will see. And the exhortation for you and for me is to have Christ-centered concern for the church. That's where we're going in this short message this evening. Now, it's quite important for us to see that Paul begins in verse 28 with external matters. He moves from external matters to more internal matters. And in verse 28, he says, apart from such external things. And it's the context that gives us the content of these external things. For example, go back up into verse 24. He says, five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 40 less one is what the original says. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. Now Paul writes this second letter of Corinthians toward the end of his third missionary journey. And he has not yet experienced the shipwreck that occurred during his trip to Rome. We don't really know about these other shipwrecks, except that he speaks of them and that he was in the sea for a night and a day. Many trials the man experienced. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, as he traveled. I want you to think about this, folks. Paul's first missionary journey was about 2 years in length. He traveled 1,400 miles. No automobiles, buses, airplanes, mostly by foot and on ship. And fording rivers, encountering bandits on the road, all sorts of encounters that the apostle had. He says in verse 27, I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. The victims of the tsunami that struck Japan, the victims of the hurricanes in the United States in these past years and recently have nothing on the Apostle Paul. Many sleepless nights in hunger and in cold. Let me refer you to just a couple of examples on his first missionary journey in Acts chapter 14. When Paul had been in Lystra, in verse 19 in chapter 14, text says, but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul. Why? Because he healed a man. And he was an endangerment to the Jewish religion because he preached Christ. He was stoned. It says the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead, leaving him for dead. And then on his second missionary journey in Philippi, there was a young lady who went after him, crying out, "Here is a servant of the Most High God," and followed him. And Paul finally got aggravated with this. And the text says in Luke 16, let's get a little context here. Verse 18 Acts 16 says, "She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her.' And it came out of her that very moment. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrate, they said, 'These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans.' And the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off of them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods." They preached Christ and were beaten by the civil magistrates for doing so. Such was the external pressure that the apostle experienced. And this is what he's talking about, going back to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28. Apart from such external things, now, apart from these external things, the apostle says, "There is the daily pressure on me, concern for all the churches." Not just one church, but for all the churches. How many churches? Well, we know he had concern for the church at Rome. He wrote an epistle to the church at Rome. We know that he had concern for the Corinthians. Two epistles he writes to the Corinthian church, and he was there for a year and a half. To the churches at Galatia, he writes. Not singular, plural. To the churches at Galatia, in Galatia. Ephesians. He'd been there for 3 years. He knew the people. He had care and concern for the church in Ephesus, for the people at Philippi, the church at Philippi. He writes to this church also, and to the church at Colossae. And from the letter he writes to the church in Colossae, Colossians, we know that he also wrote to the church in Laodicea. And Paul also writes to the church at Thessalonica. And his concern for the church at Ephesus continues because he tells Timothy that he's placed Timothy there in Ephesus to teach the things concerning the church to the people. And in the little epistle to Titus, we learn that he sends Titus to the church in Crete. And he says to Titus, "Now I want you to organize things in the church in all the cities in Crete." More than one church, I suspect, in that island. And Paul was concerned about the church at Jerusalem. Well, we know this is the case because he collects offerings for the poor in Jerusalem. The care of the churches, plural, was upon the Apostle Paul. Now, I think this is so striking, friends in Christ, Because for you and for me, our concern usually centers on one church, not a dozen or more, on one church. Perhaps if you're a member of Presbytery, you have a concern for more than one church. But I know, even going to Presbytery meetings as the pastor of a church, my concern was always for the church, really. For the church of which I was the pastor. It's one church for which we have a concern. And in our situation this evening, it's for this congregation, is it not? If you're from some other location, it's for that church at home. That's where your concern is centered. And what else does the Apostle Paul tell us? Concern for the churches. This is an internal pressure that is brought to bear as Paul thinks about these congregations which he does not see. And isn't it true, friends, that it's what we do not see that often raises our concerns? We don't know what's happening in particular circumstances and particular situations. And so our minds begin to work and turn. And we imagine all sorts of things occurring. And often we think the worst is going to occur in a particular situation. It's those internal things, those unseen things that get us. And this is true in our circumstance here too, isn't it? Concern for the church causes us to begin to think. What in the world is that pastoral search committee doing anyway? Why does it take them so long to do their work? Can't the elders prod them a little bit and get them going? What seems to be their problem? And the wheels turn, don't they? And we become anxious. Well, thankfully an announcement has been made, hasn't it? This is good. But this internal pressure tends to build. And the way the word is translated in the various versions helps us here. Verse 28 again. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. The spectrum of translations is something like this. Anxiety on the high end. And then worry. And then concern. And then care. And as I mentioned earlier, the English Standard Version uses the term anxiety. And when the term anxiety is heard, I would say this is the kind of pressure and the kind of stress that's bad, that the mind does turn rapidly, and we sense that things are out of control, and we do become anxious. And then there's the term worry, which is not quite as strong. We all admit that we worry, and we are all prepared to admit that we worry a lot. But we don't think too much of it. And that worry arises because of our kids and the situations that they find themselves in. Our middle daughter recently struck by a sled on a ski slope, compound fracture. Mom and Dad thought about that a little bit, worried about that a little bit. And then on the other side, there's care and concern. And care and concern, I think, are more in line with good stress. I would put it that way. And I would submit to you that the better translation in our text tonight is that Paul had care and concern for the churches. See, when we're over here on the anxiety side, again, we're more consumed with self. And we're nearsighted. We think about self and our desires. And when we get over here on the care and concern side, and we look at the Apostle Paul, I think that we can say without too much difficulty that Paul's care and concern grew out of his relationship with Christ. That he had a care and concern for the church because he understood Jesus Christ's care and concern for the church. And he understood that Jesus Christ is the Lord and the King of the church. And he wanted, with all of his heart, for the church to grow and prosper under the leadership of Jesus Christ. And that's where you and I should be. Having the care and concern of Jesus Christ for the church. Let me go back to the pastoral search committee again. Not meaning to pick on you folks at all. Because my guess is that your desire in the whole process that you've been leading this congregation through has been that you desire what God desires. That you're looking for the will of God. And your concern has been to be in tune with the will of God. Now, if that hasn't been the case, I would say You need to do a little check and a little evaluation. But I'm guessing that it has been the case. And on our part, as we've been waiting, we too have needed to have a care and concern for the church that it was in tune with Christ. You see, care and concern on the one hand and anxiety on the other hand are different in this respect. That while anxiety on one hand is consumed with self, care and concern, as Paul would see it, has to do with the will of Christ. And it leads to action, where anxiety and worry immobilizes care and concern leads to action. And what kind of action did Paul take? He wrote letters. He wrote letters to the churches. He communicated with the churches. He took up offerings for the church at Jerusalem. He took various actions. He directed Timothy in how he should conduct himself in the church. He directed Titus in the building of the church in Crete. That God-centered, Christ-centered concern leads to proper action. And the reason it leads to proper action is because it's intensely personal. Look at our text again. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Oh, did I read that too quickly? Listen to it again. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me, of all the churches. And Paul was taking this personally, not in a negative sense, but in a positive sense. In the same way he was able to say to the church at Galatia, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. He knew the love of Christ himself, and he knew the love of Christ for the other people in the church, for the people of God. And therefore, he took personally what was to take place in the church. It was a personal concern for the Apostle Paul. And not only so, consider our text again. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for the church. Daily pressure. In the morning, when he arose, he prayed for the churches. Is that your posture? Is that my posture? During the day, traveling on the road, not listening to the radio, not listening to his iPod, not having an iPad, not having any of these electronic gizmos and devices, on the road with his companions talking about where they were going and the ministry about which they were, and praying for the churches. This, I think, is something we need to take note of. The Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing. But with prayer, let all of your requests be made known to God. What's the answer to anxiety? What's the answer to worry? What's the road to proper concern and proper care? Remembering your relationship with Jesus Christ. Cultivating that relationship with Jesus Christ. Trusting Jesus Christ. And having a care and concern for the church that is rooted in Jesus Christ. And when Paul, if we understand him correctly, when Paul sees the very personal nature of his concern and how it grows out of his personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If we see him properly, we will grasp that we all should have Christ-centered concern for the church. Remember some of the ground that we've covered. Jesus says, don't worry about what you'll wear. Jesus says, don't worry about what you'll eat. Jesus says, don't worry about what tomorrow will bring. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus Christ says, don't worry about what you're going to say in that tight situation and in that tight spot. When it's time to speak a word of encouragement to a brother about me, don't worry about what you're going to say when you're confronted about your faith. Trust the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus says. Trust the Holy Spirit. And what all that means is that you and I must have Christ-centered concern for the church. I have a dear brother who has said to me, there's a lot of work going on in the church that has to do with outreach. And that's good. But if there's not good preaching and good teaching in the church, then the people aren't going to stick around. And all we have to do is look around a little bit, and we see this is the case. And of course, this brings us back to a pastoral search committee, doesn't it? Having the pastor that God wants for this congregation ought to be one of our deep concerns. And it needs to be a Christ-centered concern. Because you and I want the man that Jesus Christ wants here. And you know what will happen? When Jesus Christ brings him along, the church will flourish. The church will flourish. And so, this is my simple exhortation tonight from this text. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Dear friends in Christ, have Christ-centered concern for the church. Let's pray. Lord, we're feeble in so many respects. We are in need of help and direction. Place on our hearts your concern for your church. And as you do that, Father, help us to also give thanks for what you've been pleased to give us. Thank you, Father, for the work of the Pastoral Search Committee. Thank you, Father, for the work of the session. Thank you, Father, for the work of the Deacon Board. Thank you, Father, for Titus's work over the months. Give him encouragements, we pray. And as we, as a congregation, look forward to the days ahead and a candidate coming, we pray that you will place upon our hearts a care and concern for your church that is born of the Spirit, that is keyed in on Jesus Christ. That is the concern of Christ, your concern for your church here. And cause us to pray and to seek your will, that your desires for your church in this place will be fulfilled. Bless us to this end, Father, not because we are anything special or anything good, but because you're good. And because Jesus Christ, our Lord, is so good. Hear us in his name, we pray. Amen.